This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
In 1976, I had the privilege of taking a trip to the Bible lands, and that was a trip of a lifetime. It may be that some of you that are watching now have been there several times, but I've not had that opportunity, only one trip. But I think about it often as I'm studying the Bible and I study about different places in the Bible. But I believe the highlight of the entire trip was the day that after we had seen the ruins of where the city of Capernaum used to be, that the guide took us to the site over the Sea of Galilee on a little slope there, and we were sitting there, and he began to explain that it was somewhere in that region that Jesus sat down and taught the greatest sermon that has ever been delivered, and we refer to it as the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be discussing a series of lessons entitled Moments on the Mount. And in that series, we're going to be talking about the Beatitudes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and I want to welcome you today, and please stay tuned as we discuss Moments on the Mount. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. And in order that you might know more about the course, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
No storm can hide that radiant, peaceful beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise,
I want to read now from Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In our study of the Beatitudes of Jesus, we now come to the 5th of those Beatitudes. Thus far in our study, we have talked about the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that are meek. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. But now we talk about those that are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What does it really mean to be merciful? If someone were to ask you to give a definition of merciful, being showing mercy to people, well, what does that really mean? I don't believe that it means that we're out here just being well-wishers. You know, James talked about those in James chapter 2 that were just well-wishers, and they would see somebody hungry or naked, and they would just say, well, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. And notwithstanding, they would not give things that they needed. And that's just being a well-wisher. That's not showing mercy. And showing mercy is not just being showing softness. We're not to be soft on things like sin. And God's merciful, but God surely is not soft on sin. And parents should be merciful, but they should not be soft on the mistakes that their children make. And mercy is not just being selfish. So sometimes we do lots of things out of a selfish motive. But here is, I believe, the best way for us to understand what it means to be merciful. It's showing sympathy. It means to feel with someone. I think it literally means that you sort of like getting inside the other person's skin, where you can really feel how they feel. I think that's what Jesus did. That's exactly what he did as our high priest. It was the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 that said, "We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as are we, yet without sin." We have a merciful high priest. And he can be merciful toward us because he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus lived in a human body just like you and I are living in a body. He knows what it is to be tempted and have the trials and the problems of living in a physical body. And thus Jesus is sympathetic with us. And when he appears before the throne of God, that's the reason that we can come and ask God for mercy and help in a time of need. But what are the marks of mercy? How can I show in my life, or how can I know in my life that I'm being merciful to other people? Well, I think it's because I have an attitude of being willing to forgive somebody else. If I'm willing to forgive the mistakes that other people make, the sins that other people make, then I'm a long way down the road toward being able to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Now, we're talking about showing mercy to other people. And when I'm merciful, then in turn, mercy can be shown to me. Well, somebody says, well, a little child said to his mother, "I'm upset with you." Why did that child say that? It's because the child was called on to pray at the dinner table, and the child prayed for everybody sitting at the table except the mother. And the mother asked, "Why didn't you pray for me?" And the little child said, "It's because I'm upset with you." Do you need forgiveness? If you need forgiveness, we need to be merciful enough to show forgiveness when other people have wronged us or done wrong to someone else. We need to be willing to forgive. That's a mark of a merciful person. And the reason some people never get ahead in life is because they spend all of their time trying to get even with someone else instead of showing mercy and showing forgiveness to the other fellow. Another mark that we are merciful people is the fact that we get to the point that we are non-critical in our attitude. You know, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus taught that judge not that you be not judged. For with whatever judgment you give, that's the same judgment that's going to come back and judge you. We're going to be judged with the same judgment wherewith we judge other people. That's a very serious thing to think about, isn't it? We don't need to be critical of other people. We don't need to be judgmental of other people. Judging is forming an opinion, an uninformed opinion, an opinion where we have no facts whatsoever. Judging an opinion about someone else without knowing what's really going on. And not knowing the truth. We become so judgmental. That's not a mark of showing mercy at all. That's not at all. I remember going to a little town in Alabama one time to preach in a revival. And before the service started, I was standing in what they call the foyer. It is the little entrance way coming into the building. And in that foyer, there was a little rack where they had little pamphlets that you could pick up and read. And so I picked up one of them, and I was reading it, and the front of it said, "I was in prison. I was in prison." And when I read the tract, opened it up, there was a man's picture. And it was a picture of the author of that little pamphlet. And he explained how he had been in prison in Texas, how that in prison he became a Christian, how he was leading people to Christ, especially young people, once he had gotten out of prison. And, you know, have you ever heard the expression of the preacher getting on your toes? That little pamphlet got on both of my feet, because sometime before, the author of that little tract had walked into my office, and he explained how he was working in the oil fields near where I was living, and he had not gotten paid, and he needed a little help until payday. And I thought with myself, yes, that's about the best story I've ever heard. But we helped him some. We indeed helped him some. But it was not until I picked up that little pamphlet later, several months later, I found out how I'd misjudged. I'd been critical of him, and I should not have been. You see, when we show mercy, we don't form opinions without knowing what the facts really are. We in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verse 7, that there's a statement made that we need to really think about. And there the statement is that God judges the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And that's true, isn't it? We look at the outward appearance. We look at what people have on. We look at the kind of a car they drive. We find out where they live, the kind of house they live in, where they work, the friends they have. And if they don't measure up to what we think they ought to be, we may not even want to have anything to do with that individual. But the fact is, God's looking at that person's heart. God's looking not at what they wear. God's not looking at the kind of car they drive. God's not looking at where they live or where their job is or the friends they have. God's looking at the heart. And when we start looking for the best in people and assuming the best of people, we've gone a long way down the road toward being merciful. Remember, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for the merciful, shall obtain mercy." If I want to have God to have mercy on my soul, then I have got to show mercy. Here's another characteristic I think you'll find in the person that shows mercy. And that is, they have compassion for people. And they have compassion because they treat people like they want to be treated themselves. That's in fact what Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. "Whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do you also unto them." We need to treat the other person like we would want them to treat us. Jesus had compassion. I've often thought, now you can disagree with me and we'll still be friends, okay? But I've often thought that if there's one word in all of the Bible that summarizes the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the word compassion. That Jesus showed compassion in everything that he did. And I've often thought if there's one verse in the Bible that is a summary of his life, it's in Acts the 10th chapter and verse 38. He went about doing good. All of his life, Jesus was trying to do good to other people, in his ministry especially. He went about doing good because Jesus was a man of compassion. In Matthew the 9th chapter, Jesus saw the people wandering about as sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says he had compassion on them. Compassion. And we need to show compassion on other people. You remember the story in Luke the 10th chapter about the lawyer that came to Jesus and he wanted to know what's the greatest command of all. He said, to love God. What's the second? To love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, well, that's correct. Those are right. That's exactly right. And he said, he asked Jesus, now, who's my neighbor? If the second greatest commandment is to love my neighbors myself, I want to know who is my neighbor. And then Jesus taught about the two men that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and they found a man by the side of the road who'd fallen among thieves, and they'd beaten him and left him half dead by the side of the road. And the man by the side of the road was a Samaritan. The two people that found him by the side of the road were the priest and Levite. I've often referred to them as the main preacher and the assistant preacher. And they found him by the side of the road. And when each one of them came to him by the side of the road, here's a man bleeding and dying by the side of the road. But they say, this guy's not the kind of people I associate with. He's a Samaritan. So the Bible actually says he passed by on the other side. And here comes the other man. He passes by on the other side. But here comes a man, and he sees him by the side of the road, and he stops, and he gets off his animal, and he sees the man is bleeding, and so he does what he can to stop the bleeding. He carries him to an inn, and he gives the innkeeper money. He says, now, whatever it costs, I want you to take care of this man. If it costs more, I'll pay you again when I come again. And Jesus asked this lawyer, he said, I want you to tell me something. Who was a neighbor to the man that fell among the thieves? I'd ask you, who was his neighbor? Was it the priest and the Levite passed by on the other side and ignored his needs? Why, the lawyer said, well, it was a man that showed compassion to him. And the man couldn't even bring himself to use the word Samaritan. He was the good Samaritan. And he couldn't even stop and to help the man who was bleeding and dying by the side of the road. And he showed compassion on this man. But the priest and Levite did not. We need to be people of compassion. I've often used this as a definition of compassion and mercy, outgoing goodwill to other people. We need to show people that we care, don't we? And we help people. You say, well, I just don't know that such and such a person deserves me to help. It's not what they deserve. That doesn't matter. It's what do I need to do? It's what does the Lord deserve? I remember reading in Matthew, the 25th chapter, where Jesus said, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And I would like to think that when I've helped someone that proves they were not worthy of the help that I gave to them, and that's happened to me many, many times, that when I helped them, I did it because the Lord deserved it, not because that individual deserved it. It's not a matter of what they deserved. But people do not care what we know. Somebody says, Brother Lambert, I think what we need to do is we need to start studying the Bible a lot more. And we need to start memorizing more of the Bible so that when we talk to people, that they will be so impressed by what we say and what we do and what we know that they will turn their lives over to the Lord. I've got a shock for you. People could care less what you know about the Bible until they know you care about them. They want to know you care. They want to know that you've got a heart of compassion. And my first job is not to preach the gospel. You say, whoa, now wait a minute, Brother Lambert. I thought you said that your first job was to preach the gospel. I've never said my first job is to preach the gospel. My first job is to live a life so that I am worthy of preaching the gospel. And if I cannot preach the gospel with a heart of compassion and a heart of mercy, I need to get out of the preaching business. I need to be worthy of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, somebody says, what is our motive? Why do we show mercy? Well, it's because we serve a God who's a merciful God. First of all, in Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 4, the Bible says, but God, listen to him now, who is rich in mercy. God's got all the mercy we need. And the bank of heaven never goes broke. And the reason we need to show mercy is because God shows us mercy when we show it. Now let's read our text again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'll tell you what, I've never asked anyone to do this before on getting to know your Bible, but I want you to memorize that verse. Why don't you just say it with me now? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now the rest of this week, whatever much of the week may be left for you, if it's the first of the week or the middle of the week or the end of the week, whatever day it is in your life, whatever time you have left this week, why don't you just practice that? Showing mercy and outgoing goodwill to people. And in your life, you're going to come in contact with someone in the next day or two that needs you to show mercy to them. And there's hardly a day that goes by in my life I don't find someone, somewhere, that I can show kindness to, mercy to, outgoing goodwill to. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's reason number one. That's my motive number one for wanting to show mercy, because I want God to show me mercy. And that's really the test of the genuineness of my salvation. Did you know that? In the second chapter of James in verse 13, James said, he shall be judged without mercy who has showed no mercy. Ooh, that puts it in. That just brings it home, doesn't it? You see, I want to be judged with God's mercy. This day hardly goes by, but I want to ask God for His mercy. I was praying for someone just the other day that was dying, and I'm not really certain about their relationship with God. I'm prayerful that he was in the right relationship with God, okay? And so I prayed for God's mercy on that person's soul. Oh, we need to show mercy because we want God to show us mercy. He shall be judged without mercy who showed no mercy. Think about what Paul wrote about his friend over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Grant that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. He wanted him to find mercy of that Lord in that day. And that day is the judgment day. And on the day of judgment, I want God to show me mercy. You need God's mercy. He shall be judged without mercy, hath shown no mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? God's mercy is to save you. According to His mercy has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Become a child of God today. Remember that Jesus said, he that believeth one is baptized two shall be saved number three. 1, 2, 3. May I encourage you to continue to study your Bible. Get to know the truth of God's Word. I want to thank you for watching today. And in the closing moments, may I encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And if you're not certain where the church is located, call us and we'll give you the address. Also, right now, pick up your telephone and call the toll-free number you've seen on the screen and request the Bible Correspondence Course. It is free. We're not going to charge you any money. We're not going to get your name and address and then start sending you letters telling you how you need to make a donation to getting to know your Bible. That's not going to happen. We want this habit free. And until we meet again, we want you to study your Bible, learn more about Jesus. And also, on this telecast, we want you to also take the course online if you have that availability. So whatever you do, take the course. We want you to remember that we love you and we want you to go to heaven one day. We want to, in our next segment, we're going to continue our study of Moments on the Mount. Please tune in and study with us again. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you is our prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.